Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Friday, August the 14th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And we'll talk for a few minutes because Michael's not on yet, and Dr. Tim is actually on a bike trail. So we're going to keep him muted until we're ready to have him have some conversation. And he said he'd stop so he could talk to us. That's awesome. Thank you, Dr. Tim. And so what this show is about is Mindshifters Radio, and it's about shifting your mind. So we always, and if you're always tapping into the show, this is a repeat for you. But for those of you who are new to the show, we always ask two questions. We ask, have you ever held a newborn, whether it's a newborn baby, a newborn kitten, puppy, whatever. Tap into the essence of that newborn and describe it in a word. And the word is always a miracle, awesome, pure, precious, sweet, wonderful. And we say, that's who you are. That's who you were created to be. And then we ask a second question, how many have ever done something that you regret? And what were you feeling that motivated you to do whatever it was you did? And those answers always come back, anger, fear, shame, rage, terror, guilt, you know, those kind of things. And the two lists are never the same. So we come in as this awesome pure being, then we experience life, and somewhere along the way, usually around the age of 3 or 4, we give up who we really are to take on the persona, the mask, of someone we think we need to be approved of. We mix approval for love. And so we give up who we are, and we take on this false being. And so this work is about Aramaic forgiveness, true forgiveness, which is going inside and removing those things that do not belong, those energies that become our actual physical, mental, emotional diseases, and to get back to being who we were designed to be. And so that's what this work is about. We have a whole slew of tools that we'll walk you through the forgiveness process, and we have tools on codependence, on healing through relationships, just a lot of things to offer for different areas in your life. And, you know, we always say, you know, sometimes in your regular toolbox at home, sometimes you need a screwdriver, sometimes you need a hammer, sometimes you need pliers, different tools for different things. So we have a toolbox. Actually, if you go to our website, it's got the forgiveness toolbox on the website. And it's the different tools that we have to offer you for your healing process. We're here 5 days a week on the radio show in order to support you in that process. So it definitely, when I say at the beginning of the show that it makes it your show, it really does, because, you know, we could go on, Michael more so than me, can go on and talk all of the work that we do, but when you call in and you ask your questions, then that makes it a live show, and it makes it your show, and we're there to support you. And if you have a question, I guarantee that the other 20, 30 people that are on the switchboard have that same question, and maybe they're just not brave enough to push one and say, hey, I've got a question. So you're helping yourself, you're helping others, and you help the show go along a little bit smoother, too. Hello to all of you that are in the chat room. Once I quit talking on the phone, I'll come back and chat with you, but it's a little challenging to do that multitask, to type one thing and speak another. So if you have a question, press one, and that puts a little hand up, and I know that you're ready to talk, and we will do our very best to help direct you, guide you, support you in any way that we can. And so, Michael, we've got some people working on different things on the property, getting some water lines fixed and things like that. And so Michael was called out of the building for a few minutes, so he'll be back with us here shortly. We finished up our intensive for this season here at Heartland. And thank you, Michelle, for the push. Yesterday she was asking me about the schedule for next year, and I didn't have it on the calendar yet, but it is up there now. So if you go to our website and you click on calendar, or you click on flyers or schedule, it will take you. We've got all next year set up, beginning with food fun and going through the entire summer. And the, other than that, right now we have a tentative full-week series that we're looking at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. And so we may be up there the latter part of September. We're looking at the third or fourth week of September. And so we're finalizing those plans. October, I'm going to be flying up to Pocono Mountain, Pennsylvania to do a four-day women's retreat. And that information is also on our website. And the final sign-up for that is coming up at the end of this month. And you have to do that on Universal Truth's website. But I have a link to that and a phone number both on their website, so you can contact the people for that. We tentatively have something in January in Miami. And the reason I'm saying tentative, we're looking at our schedule right now, and there's a possibility that we're going to take a sabbatical for about 6 months and finish writing your books. And but during that time, you know, we always say we're going to take the time off, but it never turns out totally that way, because we're also talking about doing an intensive. So keep an eye out for what's going to go on there. Right now it's looking like we're going to be probably near Playa del Carmen in Mexico in the Yucatan, and that's down near Cozumel. Awesome place to snorkel, so there'll be some playtime there too. So keep an eye on our website. That may be happening. We'll have an intensive there, and depending on who signs up first, they may get their choice whether we do 9-day why, teacher's training, or laws of living, or codependence and communication. We'll be doing one of those when we're away. Other than that, Dr. Tim, I don't know if you're at a stop point or not. If you're not, that's okay. I'll keep talking, but I'm going to turn you on just in case. And
how's the wind noise?
It's not too bad.
All right. Well, I would just say thanks for the intro and let people know we had our support group last night. We had two people plus me.
Oh, maybe you can put your hand over the microphone or something, because it is starting to get windy now.
How about that? Is that any better?
Yes, thank you.
All right. So we had two people plus me in the Thursday group. We did. We actually discussed part of the radio show yesterday and then played part of it for people who hadn't heard it, discussed it, the issue of being able to be aware of our filters and really monitor internally when we read, hear, or see something that triggers upset, and know that we have to decrease that upset before we'll get a clearer view of what's going on. And then we did two separate worksheets. Each of the participants had a chance to get supported.
It's getting quite a bit windy again, Dr.
Okay. Well, I'll just say we had a wonderful group, and each of the participants got to do their worksheet. And I'm just blessed to have the opportunity to be surrounded by people doing this work. So I highly recommend support groups, participating in them, and if you don't have one near you, start one up.
Absolutely. And you just cleared up right there. I don't know what you just now did different, but
I'm coming to a stopping place.
Oh, okay.
I was going down a hill, and I couldn't hold the microphone and brake safely at the same time, so.
Gotcha. Well, we definitely want you to be safe. So you just take care. Enjoy your ride. So it's good that you're taking time off for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, my schedule cleared up a bit this morning, and so I decided to take a ride before seeing patients this afternoon. And I'm out on a lovely bike trail where I have already 3 days ago gotten to see and take pictures of a bald eagle and a guinea fowl, great white herons, great blue herons, and a whole slew of cormorants, which are diving birds with orange beaks, black diving
birds. Are you going to post some pictures out on Facebook?
I don't usually post pictures on Facebook because I use it more. It's connected to my practice. And
right.
But I will I will be happy to send you a few of them.
Okay,
email.
Do. Thank you. Yes. That would be awesome. So besides all that, we have Michael Coughlin stayed with us for another week to help my Michael work on the Mindshifter book, which is another book that's been in process for some time. And we take him back to the airport tomorrow. And then Ari's been with us all week, too. Since he's been with us the whole summer, but he's leaving tomorrow morning as well. And so we'll, Michael and I will probably stay a couple days over in Springfield and play. And then it'll be back here and be kind of quiet, because then it'll be just back down to Julie and Jim and us. And but there's some other things going on. And Terry Bowling is looking at coming and being here for a while. We have another gentleman from Colorado who's looking at coming and being here for a few months and getting some teams worked together. And Terry's got some people that's already working for him to get some buildings back in shape and get some things done. They're working on the water lines as we speak. So it's exciting to see things moving forward. Hopefully we'll get all the leaks and things fixed that kept us from using the Heart Center. This year we ended up using Eternal Support, so it was a good thing that we had a small group. So if there's anybody out there in the listening audience that has time and skills for either construction work, we could use some assistance.
Well, now when you mention that, it fires the brain cells in me. We haven't talked about this in a while, but when I was growing up, I heard about the concept of tithing, and it was a rather mechanical, military-enforced, you must donate 10% of your income to the church. And they did public shaming and public, you know, posting of your percentages and totals, and it was not a very good thing in my experience growing up. And then I encountered the work, spiritual work, before Michael, where people started to talk about it as a part of a universal law, a part of what you sow, you reap. And then I heard Michael talk about it more specifically as it really makes sense from an overall kind of a meta perspective for me to tithe my time, my intelligence, my money, and my energy to whatever it is that helps me grow and then strengthen my spiritual body. And so I have had that in practice now for at least 10 years, more like 15 probably, because I started something similar before I encountered Michael's work. And I just want to say to everybody in the listening audience, it gets to be a challenge at times, but the challenge in my experience has never even come close to outweighing the benefits. So I would encourage people, if you are experiencing any benefits from this work, that you tithe some of your time, some of your specific intelligence, some of your money, and some of your energy, fresh, alive, creative energy, to this work or whatever it is that feeds you spiritually. And I suggest you do that because it will do so much for you. And as I say these words, I think about Reverend Lady St. Bain, as we used to call her.
Yeah.
Who would come on once a month and say, "Michael, you're traveling, where do I send my tithing check?" And then she would give a little talk about the benefits of tithing in her life. And so whether it's helping to rebuild one of the buildings at Heartland or offering to translate the book into a different language, or just sending 10% of whatever you bring in a given month in a cash donation, I have every confidence that Michael and Jeannie spend the money I send them intelligently. So that's my offering in that direction.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. And yes, we absolutely appreciate your support. You have just been diligent about that, and it is most appreciated. And there are a few others out there, and they do the same thing, and we're thankful for that too, and we could always use more. Like I said, you know, we have a building that the roof fell in, not this past winter, but winter before, and we've yet to have either the money or the skills. You know, if we have a person that comes and they have skills to do that, you know, then our money goes for buying the materials, and, you know, they volunteer their skills and their efforts to get things rebuilt. But then if we don't have people here to do that and they don't have the skills for doing it, then it would cost us to both hire someone to come do it as well as the materials. And so we just have to look at, you know, what's up and what is, you know, priority right now. And that's where we put the effort to. So it is definitely appreciated, and we can use every bit of help, whether it's financial or mental, emotional, physical. It's all welcome, and we thank you. Thank you for your support, Dr. Tim.
Well, you know, it's odd. As you say that, to my mind, it's odd. I just started to think about something that happened in 2008. And in 2008, my one son was going through a legal crisis, and the other was graduating high school and thinking about taking a car ride, and gas prices went up too high, so instead of a car ride around the country, he bought a bicycle at my recommendation and decided to ride across the country. And this just happened to coincide with my bringing Dr. Rice and Jeannie into the Crystal Lake area to give a week-long talk. And the ways in which Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie, in their, you know, in the middle of trying to do a whole week worth of talk and travel and juggle all the balls they have in the air at Heartland and everything else, when they were with me, my family benefited in ways that words can't really describe from their personal attention, from Michael's efforts with my sons, with, you know, efforts in the area of supporting my one son with his legal issues, or at least offering it. He ended up rejecting it, but I think that was a wonderful process anyway. And then with my other son taking a bike ride, who wouldn't really listen to his dad about wearing a helmet or taking maps or... And yet Michael took the time, interrupted what he was doing and all the balls he had in the air, and connected with both of my sons, making offers. One of them took him up on them, and it tremendously changed his summer for the better and his ride across the country. And the other one still remembers the offer that was made and how he now thinks he was silly for not taking him up on it. But I just want to talk about, you know, it's not just the radio show and the intensives and traveling and doing the workshops. Michael and Jeannie give and give and give and give in ways most people never know about. And so I just wanted to mention that, because that fired in my mind as you were talking.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that acknowledgement. And it's smoke and mirrors, because, like, you know, whenever we have been with you, I mean, you teach the tapping and you assist us and support us, and so it's, you know, reciprocal, and we thank you for the support that you do offer.
Well, like Frank Burns used to say in MASH, it's nice to be nice to the nice. Or as they would say in Way of Mastery, it takes one to know one.
Yeah, for sure. Smoke and mirrors. It's made me think of the joke that where the guy comes into this town and there's, you know, an old man sitting on the porch, and he goes, you know, what are the people like in this town? And he says, well, what were the people like in the last town? And he says, oh, they were mean and snotty and, you know, bad and not helpful. And the guy goes, well, they're the same here. And the next person comes through and he's like, you know, what are the people like in this town? And the old man says, you know, well, what were the people like in the last town? And they said, oh, they were nice and friendly and open. And the old man says, that's the way they are here. And so the gist of it is that what you see is what you get, and what you spray on other people is what comes back. And so, yeah, for sure. We'll see in others what's reflected in us. So if we're seeing something that we don't like, we might ought to turn around and look at what's going on inside too. That doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that do crazy things, but how we perceive it is up to us.
Yeah, it's my choice how I interpret and respond to life events, and that makes all the difference in my life.
Yeah, for sure. I had a good example of that. I had gotten an email from someone, and it was just like, what? I mean, I reread the email a couple times, and it's like, I don't even understand where this person's coming from. And so I responded to them, and it's like, you know, I don't understand. And they came back with another kind of off-the-wall response, and it was like, are you sending this to the right person? Did you mean to send it to me? You know, and it almost got... It was comical, and I could laugh about it, whereas I could see that in times past that getting an email like that, I could have gone into upset. You know, look at this person, who do they think they are, and blah, blah, blah. But it was to the point where it was just like I would laugh about it and say, I'm not believing this email. This is so funny. This is crazy. And I finally just quit responding because it's like I have no idea where they're coming from. It was like a Jekyll and Hyde type person, and it was just like, okay. But yet, you know, I realized that in times past I would have gotten that same email and been gone into upset over it. So.
No. You would have jumped on the roller coaster.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, most of us were taught to jump on the roller coaster. And, you know, one of the old country sayings is, never wrestle with a muddy pig. Because you both get dirty, and the pig likes it.
Oh, that's a good example.
Yeah. And so, you know, if somebody, once you learn these tools and you realize that any upset I experience comes from within me, when I read a letter, hear a conversation, get an email, and I notice I'm in upset, with these tools and this awareness, I can just turn my attention to the cause within me, dismantle it, and be at liberty to pursue a healthy, loving life in that moment. But the way the culture teaches us, you have no right to talk to me that way, etc. Well, now, if I choose to focus my energy on what somebody else chooses to say, at a practical level, I just focused all my energy on something I have no control over. And if I choose to blame that person for the upset I'm creating, I've now absolutely excluded the possibility that I can ever change my upset. So it's really, really powerful to know these tools and create a whole different life for myself. So
is
there anyone with a hand up?
Yes, actually, but it's Michael. so much when you were on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, dear heart, and I'll offer another phrase that a friend of mine used yesterday on the show, ditto. It's like, you know, we were talking with someone this morning, he'd been off to visit a friend who's in the business world, and people coming over, you know, drinking at 10 o'clock at night and just, you know, living in that and wondering why life isn't smooth and easy and, anesthetizing at every turn. And it's just, you know, it's a big wake-up call in our culture to go, if I was born as a human being, as this awesome active presence of love, and I'm not experiencing that, maybe I've got some work to do. Maybe there's something I can correct in my life that'll change the game. And so we're here to support people changing the game. And, of course, it's hard to change the game if the only thing you look at is everybody else. And every word out of one's mouth is about how they did it to me. Look what's wrong with them. I'm only upset because of what they did. So it's definitely a big change in thinking. And it's a change that takes a significant amount of time to tap into and make that shift. You know, once people hear, and I'll equate it from some ancient languages, ideas from the Aramaic, once people hear that you can live in and as this awesome presence of love, 24/7, 365, everybody goes, hooray, I want to be there yesterday. And then the work begins. And the person who's lived in hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, and the traumas of the culture, they don't switch to love and gentleness tomorrow, or the next day, or the next, or the next. It generally takes years. And that's the process. It is a lifetime study and a lifetime of work to make those kind of shifts and move into a different space. So that's why we're here for a lifetime. For the long term, and why 5 days a week we're here to support is to help people who are ready to make that transition. Of course, as we do that, I love how Richard Bach says it, we teach best that which we most need to learn, then we get to do it. How cool is that? So, Jeannie, anybody with a hand up? Anybody in the phone queue?
Nobody has their hand up. That was why I laughed, and I said, yeah, we got a hand up, and then I realized it was your number. but I was reading what was written in the chat room here. When Dr. Tim was talking about getting upset about what he cannot control, I saw a sign that said, quote, I will not stress myself out about things I cannot control or change, unquote.
Well, the problem with that statement is, if we look at the language determines what the mind does, and so that somebody is going to tend to turn themselves over to the external world. When I'm really clear about what I don't want, I get it. And that's one of the problems with what we call the non-being mind is, it's always clear what it doesn't want. I don't want you to do this, and I want them to do that, and boy, they better not do this. And my language, my words produce my world. They produce the perceptual output of my mind. They set me up for what I'm going to experience. And so to get clear on what I do want, I'm going to be in charge of my faculties. If I find something in the outer world stimulating something less than love, how do I tell if it's stimulating something less than love? I feel less than loving. Then I'm going to stop and I'm going to do a piece of work. I'm going to clean up my mind. And when I do that, then I start to take the control back of the whole game, and that leads to a whole different process. So that's the process we're here to support. So anything else exciting for you, Dr. Tim, today?
Well, you missed the first of the show. He's out riding. He's actually on his bicycle.
Oh, well, that was awesome that he jumped in. And I apologize to everybody for being late. We've got a problem with our water system, so I was down giving some support to the gentleman that's here fixing it, and so we're just kind of getting things handled here at Hartley.
Dr. Tim presented, I was talking about, you know, things getting fixed around here, and that Terry and somebody from Colorado and, you know, a couple people came to get some things back in order here that have needed attention, and And then he was inviting people to participate in tithing of their time, intelligence, money, and energy towards this work if it feeds them spiritually and getting things done. So,
well, thank you, Dr. Jim, for that that support. It is a project that's bigger than we are, no doubt about it. And so all the help we can get from our friends, we'll be happy to receive. And appreciate each that chooses to be here to assist and create that support. And so how can we support you? What's exciting in your world? What's happening for you that we can perhaps offer some support in using these tools? Of course, the forgiveness process is the tool of removal. Culture tells you that the forgiveness is a tool of letting other people off the hook because there's something painful going on inside of you. And that's total, complete, 100% fraud, inside out, backward, upside down. So we're not interested in supporting you. I mean, if you choose to do that, it's a cool thing to do. I let you off the hook for what's going on inside of me. And maybe, as I heard Jeannie saying there at one moment, you know, people do crazy things. So if somebody does something crazy, it can be very appropriate for me to say, I let you off the hook. I'm going to let go of that. That's cool. However, and I don't know, Jeannie, if you're muted or not, but I'm getting a lot of noise here. Hey, that's better. And so when somebody does something crazy, it's very appropriate to say, I let you off the hook. And then when you notice that their craziness resonated something painful in you, then you go to work on what's painful in you in order to get to the point where you can no longer be controlled by that which is painful in you. And that's the process of forgiveness. That's the removal process that we're speaking of. And so that's what we're here to understand, support, make available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and we appreciate you being part of the process. And one of the greatest... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the greatest gifts that that you can give is to pass it on to somebody else, to offer the support of awareness and the tools of healing. If you haven't touched into the forgiveness processes yet, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper, or pardon me, in the center of the page, you'll find a bullseye. Click the bullseye, and that will lead you into the how-to of first century Aramaic forgiveness, the whole process, step by step by step. Here's how it's done. And beyond that, how can we support you? If you've got a question, we'd love to hear it. If you've got an answer, we'd love to hear it. If you've got an experience to share, how can we support you in the use of the tools? In the meantime, we are getting ready to take a sort of a semi-sabbatical. We'll be doing some workshops to do some writing. And we'll be perhaps doing an intensive or two this winter. We don't have a schedule set as yet, but we're kind of moving in that direction. And the summer schedule for next year is on the website at www.whyagain.org. And so you can access that if you're ready to go to work with some of the tools and ready to take your work to the next level. Then we support you checking out the schedule. And we have an offer on the website that offers a set of 10 free DVDs with registration for next summer's intensives. And for those who are listening to the radio show, we're going to give you a full set of DVDs, 17 DVDs. We've only got 15 of them right this moment. We're working on a couple new ones. Actually, there might be 3 new ones, so it'll probably be 18. A full set to work with to really dig in and build the brain cells for how to move through into first century Aramaic forgiveness, remove everything in you that is less than love, and really truly move toward functioning fully, totally, completely as the active presence of love.
Michael.
That's our birthright. Yes, sweetie.
We have a question in the chat room, and then we also have 2 callers.
Awesome. Let's go for it.
So the question in the chat room is, with children, is it more important to get them to cancel their goal or to return to a loving space?
My answer would be absolutely yes.
Yes to both.
Yeah, you know, if a child, any of us, if there's hostility or fear resonating in us, to just say, well, why don't you get back to a loving space, it's not going to take somebody very far. But if you show them the tool with which to remove what takes them out of love, then they'll naturally tend to stay in that space of love. And so that would be where you want to go. So by canceling the goal, introducing them to connecting with love within themselves and to keep that moving in their lives will tend to move them in the direction of experiencing themselves as love 24/7, 365, which I offer is our birthright. That's where we're designed to live. And that's what is possible. So that's the process of
awesome
forgiving.
Okay. And our first caller is area code 607. You're on the air. Who do we have?
It's Richard from Ithaca. How is everybody?
Hey, sir. Good to hear your voice. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I've been reading this book called The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk, and I think I sent you guys a link to that book, and I highly recommend it because it talks about trauma and how people, you know, how trauma stays stuck in our bodies and stuff like that, and end up responding to situations basically mindlessly, so to speak, because we're no longer, you know, in a situation where our conscious mind is being part of our reaction, because we're reacting unconsciously.
Right.
And it made me think of, you know, the phrase, forgive them for they know not what they do. That
mm-hmm.
phrase in my mind, and made me realize that, yeah, a lot of people are doing stuff out there unconsciously from trauma. And, you know, and you guys have talked about this a lot, about the trauma of war and all that stuff. And certainly this guy goes into a lot of that discussion. Anyway, just why I wanted to bring it up, and just that thought of forgive them for they know not what they do, that sort of like stood out in my mind. And I just wanted to...
Yeah, and I would, you know, kind of expand on that. That's how the Greek translation comes across, but more accurately from the Aramaic, it would be this person or myself are not aware that we're functioning out of unconsciousness, and so support and assist in removing that unconsciousness, as opposed to the Greek idea of letting them off the hook. It's support that being removed from them so that they're free.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
And that's certainly the place we want to go with it.
That's right. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because it relates to your work very well, and highly recommend the book to anyone who wants to understand trauma and how to deal with the trauma. All right, have a good
very
day.
Cool, sir. All right, you have a blessed one. Lots of love.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller is... Yes, 541. Is this Julie?
Yes. Hi, it's Julie from Ashland, Oregon.
Oregon. Hey, how do you be?
Well, I'm really doing much better than the last few times I've spoken with you. So I wanted to report.
Cool. Well, we're here to hold the space.
Yeah, and I...
That's what it's all about, Elfie.
Well, I will. I wanted to also say I appreciated Dr. Tim's going over what tithing is. He just really described it beautifully and inspired me to recognize that, you know, even if I think and perceive and create from my energies money problems, I still can tithe, you know? So, I'm looking at tithing now with you. I would, you know, even if I can't afford to go to an intensive because of what I create in my perception, which is changing. I still can tithe, and I know that is a very opening thing to do. So I'm going to do that. So you'll be hearing from me on that. And I
awesome.
Feel
we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, and I feel inspired to do that because I've also recently moved through and I'm creating new income in a new way. And I'd like to share what that is briefly so that it might inspire others. I happen to like to cook and have turned that into cooking for others and getting paid for it. And,
oh, nice.
And I just got my first, like, legitimate customer who really wants to commit, and I'm going to be earning actual profit of $100 a week, which is a lot, you know?
All right.
Yeah, so we'll see how I do. I'm sure I feel totally confident of it, just like I do as a piano teacher. I know what to do. I know how to cook, you know, and I love it. And I was feeling a little guilty about doing too much of it when I should be doing other things. And now I'm turning it into a joy, you know, and it gives me income.
Cool.
So,
fabulous.
Yeah, and I just feel that my commitment to doing the work is really strengthening. I'm moving through a lot of things that used to be barriers. And I got this sort of insight last week or a week or more ago. When the teacher is ready, the students will come. And I was going at it the other way. When, you know, the other way is the student. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I think both are true. But here I was trying to be a teacher, you know, trying to learn everything first and doing it from really non-being, I now recognize. And, I mean, not all of it entirely, but anyway, I'm just feeling ready, and I am ready. I have a lot to share, and I'm sharing it from the work that I do, really. The work that I'm most present with usually shows up as a change in my life, and usually someone else wants to receive what I can share about that. And that I just feel like what you're saying, an original being. I'm starting to grow into that, and it feels really
awesome.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah. So thank you. And thank you for all the support. And so I'm going to tithe.
Well, we will gladly receive. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, you know, basically the projects, the way that we select projects here each year, and, you know, whether it's on the road or here at Heartland, is just what resources do we have? Do we have the skills to do this job? Well, great. Do we have the money to buy the materials to do this job? Great. Then we'll do it. And if we don't, then we won't. And it's a non-folding process.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, how much further along would we all be? You know, that whole thing about we go farther together. You know, so yeah, you've got, and you and Dr. Tim especially have called me on how I have lots of intentions that I need to set goals. And I never really got that, really. I didn't get it. But now I'm starting to get it. And so, if I can be of support to you moving forward in your joy, accomplishing things that you've had as goals that you've been having to maybe cancel for a while, you know, let's start moving forward and see where we're going to get now.
Well, we've got one simple purpose for everything we do. And that is to deliver forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being on the planet while we get to live a reasonable lifestyle and enjoy our lives. And so, basically, that's what we're doing.
That's all one can ask or even need. It's beautiful. Thank you.
All right.
You're a great example. So carry on and have a joyful weekend.
All right. Blessings. Take care. Lots of love.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
646-200-4169 is our calling number. If you have a question or a thought for us, we would love to hear
you. We do have a hand up. 847, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Erica.
Hey there, young lady. How are you?
I am okay. Before I ask my question, I just wanted to say, I think that was Julie who was on the phone. I missed it when I was transitioning from the chat room to the phone. But
it was Julie from Oregon, though, not Julie that you met here.
Okay. Well, she was talking about being the teacher and the student, and I know when I first started teaching as my profession, I thought I knew everything and that it was my job to give all this information. And those first years were hell that I didn't know how to dismantle, and I didn't know I was creating it either. But at some point, it flipped in my mind that I was a student as well, and that they were my teachers as well. And the minute that flipped, it became not easier, but I did it with more ease. It was a very interesting shift, and the year it happened, I just knew it was completely different. So anyways, I wanted to share that, but I need help with a worksheet. I'm trying to set it up, and I don't know what my thought is.
Okay, well, how can we support you? Tell me what your thought is. No, just kidding.
Well, okay, so I received a text message, like, during the show, and it's from a person. His name is Elliot, and there have been multiple times where I get incredibly anxious when I'm around him or I'm about to go see him, and he's a newer person. I just met him, oh gosh, maybe January. I don't even quite remember. And, you know, objectively, he's been very kind and straightforward, and there's an equal, like, give and take. But I just get really anxious. Like, last time I went to his house, I had to, like, stop and calm myself down and, like, you know, rewire my thought pattern. And I just thought I was going there and I was going to get in trouble. So I don't know what it is about Elliot that I don't know what's being, I know the emotion that's being triggered, but I don't know what the thought, I don't know what to do with this worksheet.
Okay, so I'd start out, you've identified, you can kind of back into the worksheet, and you've identified that it's anxiety.
Yes, I got that.
So I put feeling in as anxiety.
Yes.
And then, you know, if you put his name as number 1A, it sounds like he's the object of the trigger for the anxiety. Or pardon me, number 1C, your name, of course, is number 1A.
Yes, I have that. And then I put for the story that he texted me, because that was the event that just occurred.
Right.
And then I don't know what the thought is.
So let's just explore. So you're going to go see him. As you get closer to going to see him,
that was
you
a
find
different
your...
time. That was okay. A different time. What's happened right now was, so he texted me, I think 2 weeks ago during the group, during Dr. Tim's group. And it was a really big trigger, and I did a worksheet on it. And my goal, or what I offered for number 7, was to not respond to him till I could respond to him in a loving state. I have not responded to him. Since then, he has emailed me a reminder for this women's retreat thing that's happening at the end of the month. I have not responded to that. He emailed a group email asking people to help him move because he's moving soon. And right now, he just texted me, let me open it. The first one said, need to speak to you and see you this weekend. And then 4 minutes later, it said, missing you. And I'm completely anxious, and I still don't want to respond to him. But that's unfair. I'm just shutting down and running away.
So then in that circumstance, my input would be the best way to get in touch with what the thought is simply, okay, imagine I do respond to him and see him this weekend. What's going to happen?
I have no idea.
what's my projected fantasy? Obviously, there's a fantasy involved here.
Well, I don't want to see him this weekend. I actually have a lot of things to do.
Right. Okay, so then the thought is I'm too busy to see him. This is one more goal that I don't need to set.
Okay.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I'm way too busy. I'm too busy to see anybody.
Okay. So then it looks like then the goal would be that you'd want to cancel in order to get underneath and clear out the anxiety? And how does it look like your life for others to want to take control of your time and you end up getting stuck in the middle or end up not getting things done that you really feel like you want to or need to get done?
I heard you, but I didn't understand you.
Okay. So that's probably where there's some unconsciousness.
So yeah, can you say it in different language?
I sure can, yeah. So I'd invite you to take a look at how it looks for someone else to take control of your life, or you give over control of your life to someone else, and then you end up in anxiety or fear or anger or whatever it is because you're not getting completed what you want to get completed. So go back when you were a kid, there were things you wanted to do, things you were involved in. And did you find yourself in that situation losing control of your life, feeling like you didn't have any say?
I cannot remember wanting to do anything when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Right now, I can't remember anything.
Okay, then what I'd mark, I go ahead and put that in the blank and mark it unconscious. And
what blank are you referring to?
So the thought would be I've got some energy about losing control of my life.
Do I have that energy? Am I completely unconscious or is it like
I don't know. I'm asking. You know, you're saying I don't want to go there because I don't have the time. I don't have the time to see anybody. And
yeah.
He's putting pressure on. So maybe it's got to do with him putting pressure on.
But I know the pressure is me. All I have to do is tell him I'm too busy, and he'll respect that.
Okay. Right. Okay. Then there's a thought that's driving that you're supposed to have somebody else controlling it. It's like it sounds like it'd be a pretty simple solution if there were no other energy in the way. And the simple solution is, I don't have time, maybe next weekend, or maybe next month. But it sounds like
what popped in my mind was, is there some guilt about maybe telling him no?
That's ringing true right now, Jeannie.
Oh, good one.
To, like, tell him, no, I can't, like, I can't give you time right now.
So why would you feel guilty about that?
Are you breathing?
No. No, I'm not breathing. Okay, wait a minute. So could it be that I'm anxious about telling him no?
Like, go for it, Jeannie.
Sounds like a good possibility. And, you know, when I responded that way, I'm projecting because if you recall, and I don't know, maybe this came out in the second intensive after you'd left, but one of the things, one of my mind shifters was that it's safe and healing for me to tell someone no or for someone to tell me no. But then while I was writing the mind shifter, it turned around in that it was okay for me to tell someone else no. And so that was healthy for me. And so I needed to realize then that if someone told me no, that might be healthy for them too. And just gave me a different perspective on looking at that. Julie actually just put, sounds like you might have conflicting goals too. Like you maybe have a goal to help him or satisfy him or say yes, but then you have a goal to do your own thing too. And thank you, Julie, for throwing that in.
Very interesting.
And you may have just hit two or three worksheets here.
Yeah, I'm just taking notes right now of what people are saying. So for this worksheet about the anxiety, I'm thinking, I may be just resonating, I'm thinking that the thought is something like, if I tell him no, it will hurt his feelings. Would that? I don't know if that would line up with anxiety, though.
Well,
absolutely.
Then you'd be anxious about bringing up something for him.
Okay. If I tell him, let me write this down. Okay. Yeah, I think that this feels right. So I can finish it. And then I can text him back and tell him no.
So how about a mind shifter?
Michael, do you think I have time for a mind shifter?
I think you don't have time not to do a mind shifter. Because you don't need this turmoil that's going on in your body that you want to clear out and in your life and your mind. Because it interferes with so much. If you don't clear this out, you go and do what you're going to do this weekend, and is this going to be something that's just nagging away at the back of your mind? Distraction?
Not if I push it down far enough. I won't even notice you're nagging.
Okay. Not if I push it down far enough. Okay, there you go.
So here's my input.
You can't push a disease, dis-ease energy down far enough to be free from it. Good breath. That's what you want. You can't push a dis-ease energy down far enough to be free from it. There's only one way, and that's up and out. It's through it. It's not, well, if I hide this deep enough, then I won't know it's there. That's what led in the Aramaic for them to come up with this suffix that they add to a word that says, here's something from your unconscious that's impacting perception, decisions, and behavior. So when they add OOTA to a word, it means that something that I've pushed down is now impacting everything in my life.
Yeah.
And so the opposite is, if I get the slightest clue that there's some irritation or dis energy, that is an energy that's less than love, what I want to do is access it and out it. Rather than, well, I'll just keep hiding from myself, because sooner or later, if you keep hiding from yourself, you get into deeper and deeper and deeper difficulty.
We're down to 20 seconds.
Okay.
Ooh.
Will you text me?
But we can continue the show, the conversation tomorrow. It'd be awesome.
No, Monday.
Monday, yes, Monday. That's right. All right. We'll hold the space with a blessing. Lots of love.
Okay.
Everybody, create
so
the best year yet of your eternal life, and see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.